Hi, welcome to the Career Refresh Podcast. I'm your host, Jill Griffin. I'm a former media and marketing executive turned career strategist and executive coach. I spent my career working my way up and through the ranks of global organizations and startups, and today I show others how to do the same. Join me each week as we discuss the strategies and actionable steps to leverage your strengths, increase your confidence, and develop your career well-being. Ready? Let's do it. Hey there, and welcome back. I wanted to talk today about failure because failure used to totally rile me up. It didn't matter if it was something small like a marketing campaign or something larger like a layoff. I would become really anxious. I'd fall into obsessive thinking, which then for me always led to arguing with reality. Other times I'd freeze because I'd want to like put bubble wrap around myself, and I wasn't sure how to move forward because I was scared to make another mistake, scared to have a failure. And you know, I come from media marketing side of the business, and within that, spending so much of my career in digital health or technology, digital media, travel and hospitality, it's really fast paced, like very much like the stock market. You're constantly operating in real time. And because of this, there were huge risks and huge rewards, and it was all good. But during this time frame, before I learned how to rethink failure, I was constantly looking at my career as either a signing bonus or a severance package. And I really wasn't helpful thinking. Might have been true, but definitely not helpful. The roller coaster of this all was exhausting. I was like often anxious, and I began to not trust myself because I didn't know the next move. So I eventually learned how to wear failure like a loose garment. This idea that these fails became the springboard for me of growth and success. And that's really what this podcast is about, like how I flipped my thoughts on failure. And when I was flipping my thoughts on failure, I learned also how to manage like my brain, which can be a total jerk to me along the way. So many of us have an automatic resistance to failure. I want you to just to think for a second why you might have an automatic resistance to failure. What's the feeling that comes up for you when you think about your last failure? Is it stress? Is it fear? Do you feel super pessimistic? Are you anxious? Really, what comes up for you? And I just want to point out that you probably learn pretty quickly through direct and indirect messages in your life that failing is wrong. In school, you learn that if you didn't do well on a test or if you didn't do it right, you failed. And the more you failed in school, the less success you achieved. This idea burns so bright in my psyche, and my clients tell me the same is for them. This is like connected to us. Like this failure thing is why we have this automatic resistance. It feels yucky. You may have been directly or indirectly trained not to challenge the right way of doing things. But I want to tell you, as both a former employee and now 4 years into my entrepreneurial journey, failure is what gets you to your success. There's no doubt. It's just one less way it's going to work. And the faster that you learn to rev on failure, you're going to get to success much faster. If you quit or freeze, success isn't going to follow that quickly because there was no learning. So here's what I've noticed. When you succeed, you tend to move on quickly. You might celebrate, but you tend to not reflect on why things worked. And frankly, most of us haven't been trained to look at what you did that was successful unless you worked in technology or tech marketing. So failing forward is about two steps. Step one is about evaluating the data and choosing how you want to think about it. And step two is knowing that you can be in that suckiness of failure and get through the other side, which means you can take more risks. My years working in tech marketing, we would spend time in what we would call the wallow, which is where we would look at why something worked or didn't work. So first we'd capture all the learnings. This was sometimes a great process. Other times this was like ridiculously uncomfortable. We would look at everything. We would dissect, we would investigate, ask questions, probe deeper, and we get super crisp on like the highlights, the lowlights, and how we might approach the challenge differently the next time. Our tendency is to immediately get to the lowlights. What went wrong? Who did what? How can we make sure this doesn't happen again, right? There's a different vibe in that. Fine, you need to spend time in understanding what the lowlights were. But I'm going to offer you to make sure you spend equal time on the highlights and the wins. What went right? Who did what? What processes work? How did you create this win? Both the lowlights and the highlights deserve a deep wallow. And I also want to offer you that all this digging and probing, it's just data, my friends. It's just the facts. So as you know, you can spin data to prove lots of different points of view. And when you look at the data, you're going to have thoughts. Your thoughts are going to make you feel either positively or negatively about the data. But again, the data is neutral. So don't blame the data and don't celebrate the data. It's your thoughts about the data that you want to look at. That is what creates your feelings. So here is where the step two in that process is, getting through the suckiness of failure. I want to unpack that. Our thoughts create our feelings. And everything you do in life is because of how you want to feel or because of a feeling you want to avoid. There are no exceptions to this. Success comes from continually looking at your thoughts and feelings, reviewing the actions you take and seeing the results they create. And if you don't repeatedly look at what thoughts you are choosing, you won't progress. You will stay stagnant. You won't move forward after that failed presentation, that furlough, the layoff, or the firing. You really do get to choose what you want to make the data mean. And when you choose to look at it wholly from a negative point of view, you're gonna have negative feelings. It's okay to experience negative feelings, and it's okay to go there, right? It's okay to choose this. This work is not about anesthetizing ourselves. The work is about allowing yourself to feel the negative feeling, get through the other side so you can move forward and take additional risks. It's learning how to not let the negative feeling stop you, how to allow yourself to embrace feelings of, you know, disappointment, upset, doubt, anxious, so that you'll be able to move through failure faster. Here's why this happens. Resisting negative feelings is like holding a beach ball underwater. At some point, it is going to pop back up and smack you in the face. Other ways that you might be resisting feelings show up with the constant numbing out of overconsuming substances like food, recreational drugs, alcohol. It's also the constant media binging or social media distractions. You cannot think clearly if all of your energy is being used to resist or numb out what you're really feeling. If you allow yourself to sit in the negative feelings and then know that the feeling is just neurochemicals and hormones, folks, it's just pulsating through your body, it's a completely normal process, you begin to have the opportunity to allow the discomfort, allow the negative emotion, and learn how to process it. It's probably going to come in waves. Your shoulders may tense up. You may feel a tension in your neck. You might be like a teeth grinder. Maybe there's a nauseous feeling in your stomach, or you have like a general nervous energy in your body. But here's the magic of being a human being. Those feelings are going to dissipate either in seconds or minutes, and they may swell back up again. But continuing to learn to allow that feeling to process it through your body and eventually get through the other side is where lies the victory. It's kind of like the gazelle shuddering and shaking off the energy when it outran the lion. When we get back to humans, processing the emotion, yeah, it can be kind of sucky, but it's not so awful that you can't experience it. And the beauty is that you'll be less fearful the next time you experience the negative emotion because you'll know how to process it. We resist processing because of evolutionary biology. Our brains are motivated to seek pleasure, procreation, food, avoid pain, saber-toothed tigers, now it's flaming emails from clients, and to be really efficient or conserve energy to survive. We know that this is the default operating system of our human brain. Again, it's total biology. When you try something new, let's say you want to evaluate your recent presentation that you feel like wasn't your best work, your thoughts may tell you that you're not sure why it happened, or you may be obsessing over one gaffe, that you didn't know the exact point that you lost your audience, but at some point you looked up in the Zoom window and everyone was obviously multitasking. There's this like perfect example of how your brain wants to avoid pain and conserve energy. Your thoughts may tell you, like, you know what, this isn't so helpful. We're not going to look deeply. You just had a big disappointment. Be gentle with yourself. And that's all really nice, but it's not going to get you to move forward. Your brain may also tell you to like scroll through social media, right? You want to numb out. You want to save energy. You want to seek pleasure instead. And your brain may say, like, doing an evaluation, you know what, I'd rather go out and like be with my friends because they're going to make me feel better. Let's just pretend for a hot second that we're in the before times when we're able to do these things more freely. The avoidance of doing this work or doing the evaluation in this case and seeing your friends is just another way to conserve energy and seek pleasure. Your thoughts will trigger feelings, and those feelings will make you want to take an action or not. Everything starts with your thoughts. There is a way to not let this default programming take over. One, notice what's happening. You're sitting in front of your computer, you're scrolling social media, and instead of getting curious about the highlights and lowlights of what just happened, you're kind of in a bit of a denial, right? You're in avoidance. Name it. Get clear in what you're not doing as a trade-off for conserving energy and avoiding pain. And then lastly is reclaim it. Set aside your thoughts of like, I don't want to do this right now. Just set them aside for a minute. And then think about what you really want, which in this case is to feel better about the presentation and be successful next time. What would it feel like if you separated your feeling of failure from the facts and just looked at the data? Would you feel relief, calm, curiosity, right? Think about what you want to do next. And when you find a thought, that will get you to a feeling that will get you into action. It could be a thought like, I'm willing to learn from my mistakes. It's possible there were successes in this failure. If I don't look, I'll never know. Once you have a thought, think about the feeling that will get you into action. So if you pick the thought, it's possible there were successes inside this failure, how do you feel? Are you curious? Are you focused? Are you motivated? From that feeling, then take action. So if you take action from a place of curiosity, you're now reviewing the data with a clear mind of curiosity, which isn't like a closed emotion. It's an open, curious, inquisitive type emotion. Get the thoughts down on paper. What were the highlights? What were the lowlights? Think about your technology, your script, the research and data you put into the presentation. How is your lighting? Were you having technical issues? Even include any verbal or written feedback you receive from others. All of this is data. And now you have the opportunity to see all the things that did and didn't work. And this helps us lean in and focus on the things that did work for the next time. It's never all bad. There's some level close of 50-50, a little good, a little bad. But if you think about the nature of doing something new, you're never going to know how to do all of it. Brené Brown calls this the FFT, which translates, my friends, to the effing first time. Or it can be new because in this moment, on this day, you've never presented this topic to this audience in this environment. That's all new. And I don't care if you've done a challenge like this before or you deem yourself an expert. There's always something new about it. The market shifts. The requirements are different. The customer attitude has changed. There are new dependencies. There's always something new. And so many of my clients tell me that after a failure, they are reading, they're watching, they're starting to study, they're like learning to figure out what to do after failure. And yes, you need to evaluate, but you also need to check yourself if you're hiding. You want to read everything possible so that you're well-informed, so that you can mitigate risk. But you also want to make sure that if you're consuming so that you can feel differently, like let's say you want to feel confident or self-assured to tackle this next challenge so that you're consuming all of this content, that reading isn't going to make you feel confident. That's putting the cart before the horse. An action is never going to fix a thought problem. Your thoughts are what make you feel confident. Your thoughts are what make you feel self-assured. From that place of confidence, you then take action. You play, you wonder, you experiment, and you're gonna fail again. Staying safe doesn't grow careers. Staying safe doesn't get you noticed. It doesn't help you feel accomplished, and it doesn't grow your expertise. If you've never tried something before, there are going to be aspects of it that do not work. Again, it's data, and you get to choose how you want to move forward. Moving forward, I offer you to think about the goal you want to achieve for the next time, and then wait for your brain to freak out. Your brain is going to be tempted to try to keep the goal really small so that if you fail the next time, it's not that big of a deal. But itty bitty micro wins and itty bitty failures don't cause growth, or it causes growth at such a glacial speed that you want to be moving through your failures faster because it gets to you the success faster. This is, again, where the evolutionary biology is going to come back into play. Your brain wants you to succeed, but it also wants you to stay safe. Your brain wants to avoid pain and conserve energy. It wants to avoid the failure. It wants to make sure that you don't fall flat. So you might be saying at this point, well, if I know I'm going to fail at something, why would I actually do it? And this is where I say that not trying is also failing. You just chose to fail ahead of time. There is a song called Free Will by the great rock band Rush, and there's a lyric that says, if you choose not to decide, you still have made a choice. So if you're not trying because you don't want to fail, you have made a choice. You think that if you stay safe, you're not going to fail, but you've lost out on learning and growing and knowing and building expertise, confidence, esteem, and you don't know what other opportunities are lost because you stayed safe and you didn't really try. So if you choose to fail before you actually started, it's still failure. Failure is how we get to accomplishment, and you never know where your failures might lead you. Failing can still lead opportunities, relationships, collaborations, and growth. I look at failure in two ways. One, there's the dodgy fail where you dodged the opportunity and you stayed safe and you failed. These are the type of failures that tend to lead you to repress energy and repress feelings. This is where you find yourself standing in front of the refrigerator, eating cold pasta when you're not even hungry, or watching social media in one screen and Netflix on the other. This is that dodgy fail. The other type of failure is what I call an effective failure. You didn't get the exact results you wanted, but you learned a ton along the way. So if we put it into more context, let's say you want to get a promotion before the end of the year. So over the next few months, you level up your skills, you network internally and externally, you discuss with leadership what they'd like to see from you in order to gain the promotion, you collaborate with colleagues, you improve your team's overall output. But let's say in the end, you don't get the promotion, and all this work you could say was an effective failure, because you still get to use all this learning the next round, or you can use the skills, the collaboration, and networking and take yourself elsewhere. The worst that can happen is that you don't get the job and you feel humiliated. Okay, I get it. That's going to suck. But eventually you can get your thinking to so what? I can't really lose something that's not mine. And I learned a ton along the way. When you understand the worst thing that can happen to you today is an emotion, as my mentor likes to say, you really start to understand that there's not any emotion you can't experience. And when you know that, your whole world starts to open up. You begin to shift your thoughts on failure. You're more willing to experience new things. You take risks. And learning how to refresh your thoughts on failure isn't just so that you don't fail. It's so that you recognize the wins and learnings along the way. To recap, you get to choose how you want to think about failure. I encourage you to wallow in the data. Look at the highlights, look at the lowlights, what you do again, and choose how you want to think about it. Don't keep yourself small and safe, because that only leads to a dodgy fail because you just dodged the opportunity, which is still failure. wallow in the effect of failure, get super clear on the opportunities, relationships, and collaborations you've created so that you can continue to grow from the experience. Okay, folks, that's what I have for now. Thanks for listening, and I will see you next time. Hey, thanks for listening to the Career Refresh Podcast. If you're enjoying this and want more information, go to my website, jillgriffincoaching.com. There you can find information on how to work with me one-on-one or my group programs, or even bring me into your workplace. I'll put the link to my website in the show notes. But hey, listen, before you go, do me a favor, rate and review this podcast because it definitely helps me get the word out to people everywhere so that they can also thrive in the workplace. All right, friends, I appreciate you. I'll see you soon.